We're starting a new series today, and I'm going to probably do more teaching today than yelling and screaming and spitting and carrying on preaching. But what was that? Jumping? Anyway, we're starting a new series today, and it's on the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be about 6-7 weeks long. Most of you in small groups will be going through the same study, kind of putting it together and maybe going a little bit deeper, which I hope you would do during your small group time. But God led me to this. God led me to talk about the Holy Spirit for the next several weeks because, you know, we've been looking at how a disciple grows and how a disciple has got to follow Jesus. You know, and then we went through not a fan study. I'm going to tell you what, you cannot be a follower unless you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Amen. You know? Otherwise, we tend to just follow our whims and we follow whatever traditions maybe that feel good, or we follow what we've always done in the past. What if Jesus wants us to go a different direction? Or what if he wants to keep us from going over the edge of a cliff? I want to follow him, don't you? And I got to have the Holy Spirit leading me on a daily basis. So I want us to look this morning, and we're going to look at basically who he is. Who is he? Who is this Holy Spirit? We're going to look at John, a little bit out of John chapter 16, and I want to read out of verses 7 through 16 for just a moment as we kind of start to let God's Word speak to us. So if you do have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 16, and we're going to look at, like I said, verses 7 down through 16. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible this morning. And the Lord said, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." One of the things that just really spoke to me about this being the next series that we really needed to dig into was a book written by Dr. Henry Blackaby. How many of you all gone through experiencing God at one time in your life? Several of you. Dr. Blackaby wrote this book that's called What the Spirit is Saying to the Churches. And it reminded me that if the Holy Spirit is able to speak to the churches, that means he's definitely going to be speaking to the people who make up the church. Amen. Because individually he indwells each and every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Amen? And because he indwells us, he's going to speak to us. And if God says that he's really going to be speaking to his church, he's going to be speaking to you and me. Because you are part of that church. God, the Holy Spirit doesn't come down here to Dallas Baptist Church and stand out there in the front and look up at the steeple and says, "Dallas Baptist Church is what I want you to do," and then off he goes. He speaks to us as a body of the people who know him, doesn't he? Amen. That's part of the church. So if he's speaking to the church, like Dr. Blackaby says, then I guess what? He's going to be speaking to each and every one of us. Amen. We're the ones he's really speaking to because he dwells in us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "You're not of the flesh, but you're of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells within you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him." You see, you got to have Jesus in your heart. And when you get Jesus in your heart, you got the Holy Spirit. Amen. No Jesus in your heart, no Holy Spirit in your heart, you ain't saved. Is that plain and simple? I mean, that just gets right down to the nitty-gritties of it all. We've got to have Jesus Christ. We've got to have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in us. Because the Bible clearly says, if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, He, Jesus Christ, we don't belong to Him. Okay. Now, because He does indwell each and every follower, born-again follower of the Lord, I think it's kind of important that you and I get to know this guy called the Holy Spirit. I really do. Because if we're going to live according to God's will in our lives, I need to know who it is that's going to be leading me. I want to know His voice. I want to know how He leads me. I want to know what He's going to do. How about you? Amen? Amen? Yeah. Because I want to relate to Him. You know, if I really don't know how to relate to Him, if I really don't know if He's speaking to me or not, or how He's speaking, what am I going to do every time I get a bad case of gastroindigestion about the time I'm trying to make a decision? I'm either going to go, oh, that feels bad. That means God doesn't want me to do that. Or I'll have a euphoric high where I'll go, oh, that's got to be something God wants me to do because I really feel good about this. Amen? Or I might just go into this thing that I like to call mind overrun, and that's... Mind overrun is nothing more when I tell myself, I say, hey, Jer, guess what? I really want to hear God telling me, you know, I want to do this, so I really want to hear God telling me it's okay to do it. I want to start this ministry, so therefore I really want to know that, I want to know that it's okay to do it. God, I know this is a good thing, so it must be a good thing. So I think it'd probably be okay if I do it. God, show me and tell me it's okay to do it. If I say that long enough in my mind, you know what I'm going to start to do? I'm going to start believing it's okay. I go from God tell me to, yeah, you know what? I'm hearing this over and over in my mind, therefore it must be. That's mind overrun. You let your mind overrun the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit isn't even the one that's speaking to you. Instead, you're speaking to yourself in your head, and you're rationalizing, and you're going through the human process, and you're coming up and saying, oh, well, God must have told me to do that. And then we can't understand why the thing goes and flops. Or crashes like a lead-filled balloon. You ever been there? I think most of us have been at one time or another. So let's get started this morning and look and see just who is the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of y'all have been in church for at least 10 years? Any church? Okay. Most of us have been, if you've been here in church at all for any period of time, you probably understand that there's a lot of confusion about who the Holy Spirit is. And there's a lot of controversy about what He does and how He does it. I think A.W. Tozer, I love some of the stuff that he's written. The guy's gone home to be with the Lord a number of years back. But anyway, he had asked people, Christians, to describe the Holy Spirit. And he wrote down one of the descriptions he got. And they had descriptive words like this, a nebulous substance. Whatever that is. It's the one who's present in the churches. It's the one who hovers over good people. And somebody even told him, said, it's the one who hovers over good people when they die. Like, ooh, okay. You know, with this type of description coming out of believers, now this Tozer's been gone for a few years, but I mean this type of stuff is still kind of floats out there. It's just basically misinformation, and it's symptomatic of why so many people see the Holy Spirit in a mystical light. They kind of see Him as maybe like Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know? He's one of the persons of the Trinity. He's God. He is. You know, I think maybe people have an easier time seeing God the Father because most of us have had a father or we've been around father figures. Most of us probably can relate a little bit to Jesus being Jesus the Son because we've either been around other people's sons or we've been around our own sons. Fortunately, Jesus is a lot better than even our earthly sons. But wow, you know, when we think about the Holy Spirit, How do we put our hands, or how do we put our mind around who he is? Is he, you know, this fire like we hear him being described as sometimes? Is he a wind? Is he a smoke? A nebulous substance? A dove? I think this is one of the reasons why so many churches have characterized him in so many different ways. The problem that we run into in church life is we tend to characterize him in different ways, but we just ignore so many of his other roles, so many of the other things that he actually does. Take, for instance, the charismatic and the Pentecostal people, charismatic and Pentecostal churches, they tend to emphasize the power of the Spirit. You know, if this were a charismatic or a Pentecostal church, we'd be up here, you know, jumping up and down and carrying on talking about the power of the Spirit. Amen? Any of us been to a Pentecostal church? They emphasize the power, don't they? Yeah. You know, but if you just emphasize just the power, then you lose out on who else he is, right? Because he's more than just power. Amen. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, he is high voltage. But he's a lot more than just power. So you come into churches, Baptist churches, for instance, and most other evangelical type churches. They tend to emphasize, and I mean, we do, you guys know, I mean, we do it. We tend to emphasize more the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and the pointing people to Jesus Christ. He does that. But is that all he does? See, we're going to look at more of, we're going to focus in on primarily that one. I want to get that one out of the way today, and then we'll go on to some of the others in the weeks to come. But part of this emphasizing of just specific roles, and I think it's because it's easier for us to wrap our hands around or our minds around in certain things because we like that. If I like the power emphasis, it's a lot easier to just wrap my mind around power than it is to wrap my mind around the fact when the Holy Spirit starts to go, hey, yo-ho, yoo-hoo, you got a problem over here in your life. You know, I don't want to deal with that. I want the power thing. In the power of the Spirit, I can conquer all of this stuff. Never mind, maybe there's some sin issues I got to deal with. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to those. But I don't want to deal with it, right? So it's easier to emphasize the thing that we really want. Another reason that we tend to mischaracterize who he is and be kind of lopsided. How many of y'all ever heard him classified or called the Holy Ghost? King James spells it out that way. In the first service, we did a responsive reading, and he was called the Holy Ghost because it came out of King James. How many of you heard the Holy Ghost referred to as an it? It. Yeah. Do you know something? I got a problem with it because it's very impersonal. And the God I know is very personal. See, and on top of that, if the Holy Spirit resides in me, I don't think I want an it residing in me. That makes him sound kind of like a bug or a virus. Amen? He's not an it. He is a he. He is a person. He is a person of God himself. He is divine. And he's very much worthy of the worship that we're to give him. Amen? He's very much worthy of the praise that we're to give him. Just as the Father is worthy. Just as the Son is worthy. So let's kind of dig in here and see what the Holy Spirit's all about. And what he does in our lives as we go through these next 6 weeks. I think the easiest way and the only way to look at who he is, what he does, is to look at his biblical roles. And I'm going to deal with basically two of them today, I hope. First one I want to look at is the role of counselor. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. Amen. You know, we'll go spend tons of money to go to civilian counselors. Amen? People do. Usually like $100, $150 an hour to get advice from a counselor. Right? Is the counsel they always give 100% right? 100% factual? 100% truthful and 100% helpful? Not always. They're human, aren't they? They make mistakes. They misdiagnose things. The Holy Spirit's a counselor. But He's there to counsel us on how to go through our lives in a manner that gives glory to God. In a manner to show Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. In a manner that will help us to become all that Jesus really wants us to be. One of his prime roles, and all of his roles are prime, is that of counselor. It's to help keep us from falling down into the deep pits of life. Amen? He's there to help us make family decisions. When's the last time you called on Him to help you in a family decision? Amen? Good. He's there to help you guide, to help guide you through the pitfalls of business and dealing with employers and employees. He's there to help you walk alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ as a follower, rather than running on out ahead of Him and getting in all sorts of trouble, or dragging way far behind Him and getting out of sync, or running off to the left or running off to the right. He's there to help keep us in step, amen, to show us the path that Jesus wants us on. I'm going to do the same thing I did in the first service. And I just want you to think about this. I don't want you to answer. But when was the first time that you experienced the Holy Spirit in His role as counselor? And the Bible gives us several different examples of when He is used as counselor. Jesus told us of one in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, 44. He said, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." See, I said earlier that in our, and that's why I said I want to deal with this one today, and then we're done with this one to a part, because it's just one of His roles. But one of His roles is the drawing of people to Jesus Christ, isn't it? Amen. As counselor. It's one of His roles to pull us to Jesus and convicting us of our sin and showing us that we need Jesus. We're lost without Him. Do you agree? That was the first time that you met Him, was before you came to know Jesus. And if you didn't meet Him back there and all you met was a preacher down front, you didn't get saved, friend. He is the one who draws us there. He'll thus do something else that's really cool a little bit later on. The Bible clearly shows us that it is contrary to our way of liking to think about how we came to know Jesus. I want to say I did it. I didn't do it. God did it. God took the initiative. And He did it, not Jerry. Jerry didn't go seeking Jesus. None of us will go seek Jesus on our own. We don't want Him that well. Much less we don't even have a clue where He's at. But the Holy Spirit does, because God loves us. God wants us. Wants people. He wants all people to be saved. Amen. And He's in that business. That's His business. It's a saving business. And He draws people. He shows them that they've got some issues in their life that they've got to deal with. They've got a sin called unbelief that they've got to deal with. And there's only one way to deal with it, and it's bringing them to Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus do this? Why did God do this? Why did the Holy Spirit do this? He did it because God loves us. He did it because of God's mercy. Because otherwise we're going to have to try to figure out how to do it on our own, and we can't do it. Amen? So our first experience with the Holy Spirit is really being convicted by Him that we got a sin issue, we got a sin problem, and that we need Jesus Christ in our lives. That's where this passage that we looked at today. It's part of His role as helper. Amen? What did Jesus say that He's going to do? He's going to come and He's going to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they did not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will no longer see Me. And concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. How many of y'all like to be convicted? I don't like it. I don't think any of us do. But here's something, you know, so often we've got this picture of the convictor as God's guy walking around with God's laser gun zapping us. Or walking up with us carrying the God 2x4 and going, boom, got your attention that time, didn't I, sucker? That's not how He works. See, while being He convicts us and shows us in our lives that there's things that are wrong. I'm going to look at us from a believer's standpoint, because most of you guys that are here this morning know Jesus Christ. As a believer, doesn't the Holy Spirit come to you sometimes and say, your attitude stinks? Amen? Amen. Repent of it. Turn back from it. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit come to you and say, you're holding a grudge against brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Deal with it. Turn. Drop the grudge. Make it right between your brother or your sister. Amen? Amen. That's the Holy Spirit who's at work. You know, in our selfishness, we tend to get self-serving, don't we? I want it for me. I want to do this. I want to promote my interest. Mine are better than everybody else's. Doesn't the Holy Spirit come to you and say, hey, back off? He'll talk to each one of us in His own language. That's how He comes to me. Back off. That's wrong. That's not what you're supposed to do. How about when we decide to go down a path of wrong lifestyle as a believer? I guarantee you He will come and He will remind you. You don't want to go down that path of sexual immorality. And that covers a whole ball game. You don't want to go down that path of drunkenness. You don't want to go down that path of bad habits. That's not glorifying God. And He'll bring you to the point to where you're hurt for what you're doing. Amen? Amen? You see, He wants us to experience the fullness of God's love and the relationship that God wants with each and every one of us. He will bring each and every one of us when we start doing sinful things, having bad attitudes, having issues with other people, raising ourselves up, raising something above everything else or whatever, He will come to us because He's in us, and He will remind us that that's wrong and that we need to repent over it. And we need to do the 1 John 1:9 and confess our sin, because God wants to keep us clean. Amen. And He'll restore us back to that righteousness. You know, the other thing that I think it's a misconception, we see the Holy Spirit so often as some sort of winged warrior flying around, you know, and that's that Casper the Friendly Ghost, except we armed Him with plasma cannons, you know, if you can picture that. But, I mean, we see the Holy Spirit as the guy running around, you know, amen? That's not what He's about. He's not the enforcer. He's not the ball bat guy the billy club guy, the brass nut guy. I think the best way for us to really get a very good picture of who the Holy Spirit is to go into God's Word. And if we go over to John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you for a short time." No, it said forever, didn't it? "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." Helper. This word is used many, many times in the New Testament as it describes the Holy Spirit. The Greek word and the transliteration, and the one that we often kick around a lot, is this word called paraclete. How many of y'all ever heard paraclete? Amen? Yeah. It literally is translated as helper. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit. One of the beautiful things in the description is that it means one who has been called alongside of another person to offer assistance. Wow. Think of the role of the Holy Spirit in you as the one who has been called alongside to offer assistance to you as you go through life in all aspects, all for the glory of God Himself. In fact, as we dig in a little bit deeper, if you'd like to do some word studies, as a preacher, I like to do that kind of stuff. I try not to bore you guys with it, but I know. Did you?
We love it
when you do it. To Boris?
Yeah.
Oh, when we go ahead and do it? Okay. Well, I'm going to go a little bit deeper on this one. So this is one to grab onto. This is a love it time. One of the things that this word, it's a inference, if you will. It infers also that not only is he helper, the helper who comes alongside, he is an ally.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Think about ally. How many of y'all have had an ally? A really good ally. You know, in World War II, you had the Axis and the Allies. The Allies helped one another. Maybe not as well as they should have at all times, but boy, it really created an awful lot of power there, didn't it? An awful lot of gunpowder, firepower to take on a bad enemy. I'm going to tell you what, I like having this ally in me. Because the ally called the Holy Spirit is in every one of us who know Jesus Christ. He's in your corner. Let him throw the punches. Amen? Because, he's got the power. He's got the power. So he's the one who's come alongside, but he's also an ally. You know, when we go back and we start thinking about what the Lord has done in sending the Holy Spirit to convict the world, it wasn't to make life miserable for people. It was because God loves them so much. One, he sent his son to die for us. But he sent the Holy Spirit to convict us before we knew Jesus Christ, that we needed Jesus. Because God wants every one of us to be with him in heaven one day. He loves us that much. You see, the Holy Spirit is there. And once we come to know Jesus, he's there to help each one of us live a life that shows Jesus Christ. Because you can't live that life on your own. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Live in this world for 5 seconds. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to come to convict, it's not to make our life miserable. It really isn't. It's so that our lives will show Him to a lost and dying world. One of the things I want to briefly cover, as you remember about the Holy Spirit, you know, the one thing the Holy Spirit doesn't do, BC, we should have gotten Chip, and I could have had you ride in here with a rope and, you know, lasso somebody, then go and drag them out through the door. That would have been fun. Can I pick? No. But the Holy Spirit won't force you. He calls to you. He speaks to you in that still small voice of God. But He doesn't go and lasso you and drag you around through the briar patch until you finally give up and surrender. That's not His job. The world might do that to you because of stupid decisions. But the Holy Spirit's job is not to go and lasso you and drag you around screaming. He doesn't do that. He wants each one of us to submit and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow Your advice. I'm going to follow Your counsel. I'm going to do the thing that You desire, that You have called me to do, that You have asked me to do." That's when a child of God is really a follower, is when we start saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it," and then go ahead and do it. Wrap up. One other thing that the two-minute warning, as I used to like to say in the Not a Fan series. The other role of the Holy Spirit we find in Ephesians 1, one of the other ones. And it says in here, starting in Ephesians 1, 13th verse, "Having also believed, you were sealed in Him, Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has been given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession for the praise of His glory." You and I, when we became redeemed, when Christ redeemed us, when we accepted Him and we invited Him to come into our lives, excuse me, we got sealed. You were sealed. You know, the devil's going to put his seal on a whole bunch of people one day. If we're wrong and it's not pre-trib rapture, if we're wrong, so what? I'm already sealed. Amen. I've got the seal of my Savior on me. I've been authenticated, if you will, because Christ says, "I'm one of His." New Testament scholar said a seal denotes ownership and authenticity, and thereby it guarantees the protection from the owner. Don't think that protection, though, is going to keep you from physical harm. Don't think that protection is going to keep you in perfect harmony with everything in the world. It may not. But that seal means that you're safe because you are in the hand of God Himself. You don't have to worry because by His very indwelling in us, you have been sealed. And God has authenticated you as a genuine Christ follower, as a genuine born-again believer. But if you don't have that, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 9 is applicable. It says, "If anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, he or she does not belong to Christ." You gotta have the Holy Spirit. to belong. The indwelling of the Spirit of God and His Holy Spirit in us shows us that no matter if we know Jesus and the Holy Spirit has indwelled us, no matter what happens, you're safe. If it's a post-trib, you're safe. If it's a mid-trib, you're safe. If the government says, kill all Christians, you're safe. No matter how bad you fail, you're not going to lose your salvation. No matter how far you might turn and walk from God, if you know Jesus, you won't lose it. It's there. No matter how many times you go through life and you fall on your face, your Lord Jesus Christ is there to pick you up, and you're sealed. You're safe. Because nobody can break God's seal. Nobody. The devil can't break it. He's probably tried many times. The government can't break it. The church can't break it. You can't break it. I can't break it. And God's word promises that He won't break it. Amen. You and I got security in Jesus, folks. And that means we've been set free completely. And we don't have to go around trying to work ourselves into God's good favor. And we don't have to worry about where we stand with God from one moment to the next. And we don't have to worry about Jesus giving up on us, because He won't. Amen. The Holy Spirit Himself testifies in our lives. And you'll know that testimony if He's there. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you belong to Him. Period. Listen to the counselor when he speaks to you. Follow him, because you'll show Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for this day, and thank you, Father, for your word, and I thank you most of all for what your Son Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. I thank you also, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Holy Spirit to be in each one of us who know you as our Savior. Thank you for the promise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the seal. Thank you for caring that much. Lord, I pray this morning that if there be one here today, just one, if there's just one here today that does not know you and has not been sealed because he or she has placed his trust in Jesus Christ, I would pray that today, through the work of your Spirit, that one will be drawn to you, where he or she can accept the blessed forgiveness, the blessed peace, and the eternal salvation that you offer so freely. Do your work this morning, Holy Spirit, if there is one in that case. For those of us who know you, Jesus, may your Spirit show us if there's anything in our lives, anything whatsoever, that keeps us from showing who you really are. Lord, we want the right relationship with you. And we want to show you wherever we go. Our neighbors need it. Our back mountain needs it. The valley needs it. Pennsylvania needs it. Our United States needs it. North America needs it. South America needs it. Central America needs it. The world needs it. Help us, Father. I just lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.